We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Monday. Beautiful day. Beautiful day. Sunshine and smiles all around. Monday markets and more today on The Upswing. Dave Spanos, CEO of Annex Wealth Management, will join. Also on the hook, if you will, how the 100% Great Lakes Fish Pledge is moving trout prices while also fishing for innovative applications for fish byproducts. Fishing for new dollars using the whole fish, right? You don't just go fishing for the food. You get the compost, you get the fertilizer, you get the protein, you get the collagen. The president of Rushing Waters Fisheries will join us. What else? Oh, of course, we have the Upswing Coffee Index. Milwaukee made another list over the weekend. Land's End went all in on the $1 tote bag. We're going to tell you how that turned out. And much, much more as we do each and every day. Two up. First up, hot dog. Portillo's. You been to a Portillo's lately? Portillo's went public about 3 years ago. Has four locations in the Wisconsin area, but this from the Chicago Tribune, where the company, incidentally, was founded in 1963. Activist investor Engaged Capital is pushing for big changes at Portillo's as the hot dog giant continues to pursue an ambitious, a really ambitious long-term expansion plan. In an SEC filing last week, Engaged, which disclosed nearly a 10% stake in the company, said it's been in conversations with Portillo's about potential steps to unlock the intrinsic value of the business. That always means changes are coming for sure. But those conversations have included discussions around how do you optimize restaurant performance, how do you improve restaurant level cash on cash returns, and much, much more, according to the filing. Changes to the company's board of directors have also been discussed, as has a potential sale of the business. Engaged also reported in the filing. Portillo's shares are down about 25%, I'm sorry, year to date, and around 70% since their IPO in 2021. In Chicago, the hot dog giant in Chicago, where the DNC begins today, the hot dog giant has faced labor activity and allegations around law breaking by the National Labor Relations Board. I like Portillo's a lot, but I've always thought their restaurants, space-wise, were just a little too big. And it's interesting, that's one thing that this activist investor has brought up, shrinking the size of future restaurants. Whatever you do, don't change that roast beef recipe or the chopped salad. I love it. Two up. Second thing, no venue for you. Venue sports or simply venue. Is this proposed new sports-focused streaming service in the U.S. to be operated as a joint venture between the Walt Disney Corporation, Fox Corporation, and Warner Brothers Discovery? It would combine all the resources of ESPN, Fox Sports, and TNT Sports. But it's now ensnarled in a new lawsuit that may prevent the service from debuting in time for the start of the NFL season. The U.S. District Court in the Southern District of New York found that Fubo, a different online television provider, produced significant evidence that the new joint venture for venue will at least tend to lessen competition in the pay TV market, per the court filing. Venue, of course, disagrees. It was slated to launch, as I said, to begin the NFL season. Take a guess how much per month. $42.99 per month. Subscribers won't need a cable subscription, but would be able to access all the programming and games from the three networks and their affiliates like ABC and Fox, plus ESPN Plus, the network's extra direct-to-consumer service that focuses on more niche sports. It'll be interesting to see what shakes out here. A big, ambitious plan from major players in the sports world. Lots of changes, always in the streaming world. Next, the Fed's balancing act, housing, MasterCard, The Onion. What's going on at The Onion? And much, much more. Dave Spanos, CEO of Annex Wealth Management, joins. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. We're presented by Horicon Bank. Happy Monday. Dave Spanos, CEO of Annex Wealth Management, joins us. Dave, happy Monday to you too as well.
Yeah, happy Monday. Looking forward to a beautiful day.
All right. So the Federal Reserve is now navigating kind of two opposite sets of risks, right? They're finishing the job, maybe tampering down inflation, while also starting to lower borrowing at just the right time, maybe to avoid a downturn. What's next now that recession fears maybe have seemingly subsided a little bit?
Yeah, they've gone down. You'll remember that earlier last year, it was well over 50% that it was going to slow down into negative growth or recession. And that has subsided. It's still about a 20% chance right now for lots of reasons. But the Federal Reserve has two jobs. It's called a dual mandate. One is for maximum employment and the other is stable prices. Maximum employment is to keep people employed, right? How they do that is some of their policies. And the second is stable prices. That's obviously trying to control inflation. Now, inflation has come down to somewhere around, you know, their target of around 2 to 3%. It hasn't got to their number, but it's in the general vicinity. And mm-hmm. It was, as you remember, you know, taking at 8-9%. Now, in total, over the last 4 years, inflation is up between 20-25%. And I think people forget that, Jeff, is that there is a difference in inflation. Inflation is the rate of change. Prices are something different. So whatever, a gallon of milk that was $3, and if it's up a dollar in this, that's not exact math, but mm-hmm. you get it. Prices aren't coming back down to where they were. They're still going to stay higher, and that is all we're talking about is the rate of change. So inflation has come down to something that they are at least going to start to lower rates. The second thing they have to look at is employment. Employment is definitely going up. And that is something they are watching. So over the next, you know, week or two or 3 weeks, what they tell us is going to be really important. So, yes, inflation fears and recession fears have come down, but the risks are still there because of a lagging that, you know, when they do something, it takes a while for it to go through.
So what happens in Jackson Hole this week, and how has kind of this conference coming up in a remote Wyoming resort become such an economic obsession? Do you expect big news coming out of it?
Yeah, that's the reason why it's become this. And so for those who don't know, all of the big muckety-mucks in banking and in the Federal Reserve, they go to Jackson Hole, Wyoming for a bit of a retreat. Just for a little fishing and drinking, I'm sure. But there is, they get together. And the reason why it has been such a big thing is it always seems to get news out of it. And it's because it's in August, which is generally a slower news month, and obviously not with the DNC starting right now. But it is something that there is news that's coming out. Now, what they're going to talk about is, this is the title of their weekend, reassessing the effectiveness and transmission of monetary policy. And people are like, what the heck does that mean? It's a mouthful. There's no question. But really, it means what does their actions, how long does it take? So them going from zero interest rates up to 5.25% to 5.5%, that has a lag, and we're starting to see it now. So in inverse, when they start cutting rates, it's going to take a while. So if you go from 0 to 5, do the math, right? Mm-hmm. And they're going to talk about a quarter point cut in September. That's a whole lot of quarter point cuts over years for it to get back to where it was. And I don't think it's going back to zero, but for it to come back down, that will take a lag. And this is why it's important, is because unemployment is starting to tick up, and that is really something they're going to have to watch over the next 6 months.
Are there any expected market implications that come out of the speeches and the relationship building that happens at the event?
Yeah, there generally is probably not market action because it's not news, right?
Yeah.
We know that there's going to be a quarter point. I mean, that's really what he's going to talk about. And he's going to talk about, you know, will there be a lagging effect? And I think there is. And I'll give an example quickly before we go to break. Mm-hmm. Is what they are going to do is, if you're a consumer and you go, okay, they're going to cut rates and I wanted a mortgage and it's, you know, it's 7% and now they cut it 25 basis points. Well, now it's 6.75, but they said they're going to keep cutting. Do you wait, right? Do you wait for 6? Do you wait for 5? And that that delayed reaction can slow the economy. So it goes back to my very first point. It has a lagging effect, and that is what we're going to watch.
Okay. All right. When we come back, more with Dave Spanos, CEO of Annex Wealth Management. We'll talk housing. MasterCard's made a cut of it, 3% of its staff worldwide. I want to get Dave's insights, especially as we head to back to school, back to college, what families and kids should look out for when applying for new credit cards. This is The Upswing. We're presented by Horicon Bank, and you are listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman from the WTMJ Talk and Text Line, which is 855-616-1620. Just back to our price increase conversation from the 262. My experience is that baking goods, household chemicals, and paper goods, and vehicle chemicals have exploded in cost in recent years, way above the reported inflation rate. I'm seeing many of these essential consumer items double or worse since the pandemic ended. Without a doubt, Dave, more people are turning to new credit card offers to, you know, alleviate some of the financial burden in their families. MasterCard recently said they're cutting 3% of its staff worldwide, but, you know, obviously they're still experiencing year-over-year increases in net revenue. What do you see in the credit card space now? What should consumers and families be aware of, especially as we head into, like, new college season where these offers are all over the place?
Right. So, you know, first of all, you can see the credit card debt is exploding, and that is not generally a good sign for the economy. That means people are, you know, deferring payments. And so we're starting to see those numbers go up, and that is generally a harbinger of bad news to come. So we want to pay attention to that. But, you know, you talk about all of the credit card industry right now. I mean, they have a lot of competition. You talk about Zelle and Venmo and all these other ways that people can pay each other, and they do pay each other. So there is competition right now for things like credit cards. And so we have to watch that. You did see that, you know, more importantly, you saw that they cut staff. And again, it goes back to my earlier point before the break about watching unemployment rate. We saw this morning, General Motors is cutting some rates. And so there's this crazy thing called the SOM rule. And it just means if unemployment goes up in a short period of time, that it could show that the economy is slowing. So last year, earlier this year, the unemployment rate was 3.4. It's now up to 4.3. That doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a 25% increase. If this continues to happen, some economists are suggesting we could see a 5% unemployment rate. And so quick math is 3.4 to 5. That's a 50% increase in the unemployment rate. So that's number one. But number two, you know, for the kids getting some credit cards, mm-hmm. you know, use it prudently. You know, you and I will remember what that was like.
Yeah.
You know, you had a card and you had a limit and you saw, you know, a co-ed and you wanted to buy some drinks and all of a sudden your limit was gone. Right.
Yeah.
So you have to be smart about it and, you know, don't want to get stuck. You know, back in the day, they used to have these 29% interest rate payments. Yeah. You know, you couldn't get out. It took you 13 years just to pay the minimum to get out from underneath it. So be smart.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned a couple of the financial apps and tools that are out there. Do you have a favorite app or tool that you regularly recommend to clients just for general financial outcomes?
There's tools that you can use to track, but, you know, we do almost all of that work for our clients.
Okay.
But if you're out there right now and, you know, I get the bill right, for the kids and so I pay them in Venmo a lot of the time. So it's just easier to do that when, instead of sending them the old fashioned way. So we use Venmo in the family.
Okay. Very good. So Land's End last week kind of went all in on this $1 tote bag promotion. It ended pretty quickly. The promotion was a way to get some attention. And according to Land's End, tote bags are the number one selling product on their website, suggesting that some people, you know, who didn't, they did a $1 tote bag. Not all people were able to get it, but it raised a lot of buzz. So what I'm thinking is, whoa, you have major retailers that are doing pricing gimmicks and pressure to reduce costs. Do you think we'll see more of these type of kind of pricing gimmicks in the near future?
Yes, I do. And the reason why is because of the stress on the consumer. And so it's not just, you know, Land's End. We have all read about McDonald's going back to the $5 meal and burgers and Wendy's right behind them. Walmart talking about cutting some prices on 7,000 items. So that's out there. And by the way, they get something out of it, too. And they get, you know, they get you to sign up and you can become loyalty apps and they get more data on you. And so there's two sides of this coin. So yes, they want more volume. They want you to come in. They want you to use their stores. But you know, when Walmart and McDonald's start seeing more business, that is a sign that there's pressure on the economy. And by the way, that's an economic issue that should be, if it's not number one, between the two candidates right now, is talk about the economic issues.
Yeah. Okay. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk about the changes in the real estate world in terms of commission. But the Wall Street Journal last week had a story about the rise of $1 million homes and the sustainability mini markets. This has become kind of entry level. You know, from your lens, just how can families kind of best manage generational housing costs and plan for succession? Obviously, it's a huge investment. It's the biggest investment we all have. But how do you work with families to manage that investment?
Well, you know, you talk about you know, how things are structured, how you register them. But I just read an article this morning about the pressure on, you know, on the lower income people, their ability to find a house, and if they can, you know, can they find it, and then can they afford it? And to them, to those people in that, you know, income level, that is generational wealth. And so how do they transition that? And a big part of that is how you register it, you know, what kind of debt there is. So one of the axioms of financial planning is to make sure that you control your debt, especially as you get into retirement. So control your debt, make sure that that asset that you have is that you can afford it and you can transition it at the right time.
Very good. Always appreciate your time on the Monday Market Update. Dave Spano, CEO of NX Wealth Management. Dave, enjoy your week and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. 29 companies, including Rushing Waters Fisheries in beautiful Palmyra, and 9 others in the state of Wisconsin have signed on to the 100% Great Lakes Fish Pledge, publicly committing to use 100% of each fish they raise by 2025. Situated right there in the southern Kettle Moraine State Forest area, Rushing Waters is always been a leader in sustainable aqua farming practices, and Rushing Waters President Peter Fritsch joins us on the phone. Peter, happy Monday. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Of course. So just give us the general overview. How's the fish business for you?
It's been good. We do like these wet summers. Obviously keeps our trout healthy and happy with a nice rain we've had. So it's been a very good summer for business.
Very good. All right. So what is the bigger kind of sustainability goal of this 100% Great Lakes Fish Pledge? And how can it drive business innovation for you and all the companies that are on board?
Well, a big part is preventing waste and promoting sustainability. You know, we spend a lot of time and energy in raising these rainbow trout on our farm. And you know, you want to use all the product. You know,
right.
Many of us out there, we enjoy the smoked fish and all the products that we make, but there's still a good percentage that we can't sell to you as food. That's where this comes into.
Okay. So can you detail some of those other products above and beyond the fish that we're all grilling and getting in our Friday fish fries? What do those products look like? And, you know, I think kind of given this pledge, you see an expansion of products that's going to come out of the initiative.
We do, and that's one of the benefits, some new initiations. We've got, you know, we've done composting, we've done some fish fertilizers, pet treats have been a big one, and we're seeing that still continue. There's companies now even working on fish leather products. I've seen cowboy boots made with fish skin. Some pretty neat ideas out there.
Okay, very good. So in terms of pricing in the grocery stores, obviously prices are creeping up in the stores, and we're all feeling it a little bit. What are you seeing in terms of wholesale and pricing on your end to your distributors?
Exactly. I mean, things have gone up, you know, from our inputs, from our feed of our fish, and things are going up. You know, one of the good news with fish is it's lean, healthy options. You don't get a lot of shrinkage. You know, if you cook that quarter pound burger at home, you lose a lot of grease in the pan. You know, you buy 6 ounces of fish, you get 6 ounces of edible fish. So that's one good thing about some of our products.
Very good. So when we come back, I want to get your just kind of general tips on cooking fish and your thoughts on the way that consumers can buy better fish while not breaking the bank. So I want to get your insights there. But also, what you used to do, kind of a catch and eat program at your facility, right? Do you still do that? And if you don't, will you get back to it?
We're looking at possibly getting back into it. We do have our trout house on site. We have just recently reopened for Friday night fish fries, and we do special events. But the fishing park is open 7 days a week.
Okay. All right. And what does that entail for the customer? How do you just bring a pole and go for it, or what's the process?
Even better than that, you just show up. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring the grandkids out. We've got the bait, the poles, everything, and we'll clean your catch for you, put them on ice. It's fun for the whole family.
Very good. All right, Peter Fritsch joins us talking about the 100% Fish Great Lakes Pledge. This is The Upswing. We're presented by Horicon Bank, and you are listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are joined by Peter Fritsch from Rushing Waters Fisheries, farm-raised rainbow trout since the 1940s out in Palmyra. So, Peter, talk to us just about, your trout aren't raised in, it's not a factory farm. They don't swim in circles underneath lighting. I mean, it's truly a natural environment where you harvest the fish and allow the public to come out and fish on their own as well.
That is true. Yeah, we're doing it just the way Mother Nature intended. There's bugs and natural insects in the ponds. We've got some weeds that act as natural filters. Everything you see out in the world is right here in our ponds and leads to a really healthy fish.
Very good. So walk us through some of the potential economic benefits for Wisconsin companies that are on board with this full utilization of 100% of the fish, including, you know, a lot of the parts that are traditionally discarded. You discussed that a little bit before the break, but what are some of the benefits from your business standpoint?
Well, we've been able to really target some pet lovers. We all know we take really good care of our pets, and you know, fish is a great product for both cats and dogs. And taking these and making high-end pet treats has been something that we've been working on now for probably about 12 years. And the demand seems to continue to increase.
Yeah. So do you sell those direct to consumer, or do you partner with other pet brands to sell the product? How does that work?
We've done both. Okay. We've been over time. We've been on Chewy.com. We're kind of re-strategizing now. Right now, they're available back at our store, but we're working on the next wave of these items.
All right, talk to us about, you know, specifically why Rushing Waters chose to get involved with the 100% Great Lakes Fish Pledge.
Well, we've been working on it for a long time. You know, from our chemical-free practices in our farm and everything we do is about sustainability. I mean, this makes sense. And once we learned about the 100% Great Lakes Fish Pledge and everything else, we knew right away we wanted to team up and do this together.
Yeah. Were there any thoughts, that this is going to have impact on our business because it's going to add more to process and expenses? Do you take that in consideration when evaluating this opportunity?
A little bit, but yeah. Since, again, we've been working on some of these dog treats and everything else, we have the practices in place. It's a matter of just kind of fine-tuning a few things and getting to the finish line, and we can see it. We're on our way.
Very good. All right. What? I'm always a little intrepid to put fish on the grill. I don't know why, but it just seems like, I don't know. You know, it's not my core skill set. What are some of your expert lens fish grilling tips for as we get into the end of the summer here? And just your thoughts on some ways that us as consumers can buy the best fish for the best price.
All right. Love. I consider myself a grill master.
All right. That's good. I need your insight.
The tip of the day is everybody doesn't want their fish to stick to the grill. You got to keep that grill clean. Keep that grill clean. You know, even a little canola oil spray on Pam, you can spray those bars. Keep everything clean. You can't have last night's burger crumbs on there. Mm-hmm. It just sticks. And then don't marinate your fish. Just a light coat of olive oil, a little salt and pepper. You add all those sugary marinades and everything, and that's going to burn to your grill. So tip number one, keep it simple, and you will enjoy your fish.
Very good. All right. I'm going to add that to my list. Thoughts on, you know, there's always safety concerns in terms of handling, getting out of the refrigerator. What are some of those safety implications?
You know, keep your fish, keep it cold, keep it in the back of your refrigerator. Don't put things on the door where you open the refrigerator 37 times a day. And, you know, again, you don't have to buy a lot of fish at a time. You know, 6 ounces is a nice portion. So it doesn't have to hurt the pocketbook. And just keep it cold. And nothing gets better in the freezer. People like to hoard food. They buy it. They put it in the freezer. Buy your fresh fish and enjoy it. And then go get more. Putting it in a freezer doesn't always make it better. Just keep that in mind.
All right. Thank you very much, Peter Frisch from Rushing Waters. Appreciate your time this morning. Enjoy the rest of the week, and keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
All right. This is WTMJ, The Upswing. You know what? It's time for coffee when we come back. The Upswing Coffee Index. What are we paying for our morning coffee? We'll be right back.
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's the Upswing's Coffee Index.
Welcome back to the Upswing. I know we're getting close to lunch, but we got to look at the Upswing Coffee Index. This morning, I took Downer Avenue, stopped at the walk-up window, actually, at the Stone Creek on Downer there, $3.25 for a 16-ounce, added a little cream, half regular, half decaf. That's my regular order there. But I like the walk-up windows. That's become a trend in many different neighborhoods. There's one here downtown at the Avenue for one of the vendors. So, you know, compared to the drive-thrus that we're all seeing, the walk-up window is a really nice experience. Producer Jaslyn, they stopped in Cudahy. I love it. At the Charleston Cafe right there on Layton. It's a family-owned business, kind of operated as this 1920s-themed coffee shop right in the heart of wonderful Cudahy. $2.45 for a 12-ounce coffee. Not bad,
that
Jess.
Is correct.
Very good. How was it?
It was good.
Yeah.
I like stopping there when my dad had to drive up to sign my lease. That's where we got breakfast. And it's one of those restaurants where when you order a sandwich and get a basket, the liner is like an old newspaper.
Oh, nice. Old school. Yeah, it looks great. The food and kind of the various treats there. It's a really cool, cozy, wonderful experience right there in Cudahy. So speaking of coffee, downtown Milwaukee is big on coffee and business. Milwaukee Downtown Business Improvement District number 21 is teaming with downtown businesses and organizations all week long. It is Downtown Employee Appreciation Week. We cannot underestimate the power of the 60, 70, 80,000 employees that work in downtown Milwaukee. It's a week-long event featuring morning wellness sessions, free lunches, office challenge games, and after work events for the downtown workforce. It began this morning with a big event that they called Morning Jolt right at the Baird Community Commons on Velar Phillips between Wisconsin Avenue and Wells Street. Today at 11:45 at Red Arrow Park, is the official opening ceremony, 1,000 item lunch giveaway, office challenge games, and more. New this year, employees can participate in a free meditation session. That's tonight at 6 p.m. at Sampson Square on Schlitz Park. So you can go to iworkdowntownmke.com to pre-register for any of the events. If you're a downtown employee, get involved. It's a celebration for all that you do each and every day. Moving on, lists are big business. And if we're going to continue to drive tourism and increase our population in greater Milwaukee, making these lists, it matters. It could seem a little trivial at some times, but last week, Milwaukee made another list. Good housekeeping. Get this, 20 best places in the world to visit in November. Hey, kind of a wacky, crazy thing. But according to travel experts, Milwaukee is on this list. That includes also Scottsdale, Orlando, Paris, Nashville, and many, many more. They said this about Milwaukee: from a culture-filled Midwestern getaway, look no farther than Milwaukee. While the city is known for its cheese curds and beer, it offers way more than that. Milwaukee making another national list. I always like to highlight that. Makes me happy. Finally, there's a Spanx store at our airport at MKE. Up next, could it be sneaks? Did you see this over the weekend? Sarah Blankley, who is the inventor of Spanx, posted online on her Instagram, big news, she's secretly been working on and dreaming about something for years, a new invention and a new brand from the entrepreneur. It is launching tomorrow, and we're going to have to dive into this later. But high-heeled sneakers, high price too. They're selling three styles of multiple color cutaways, high-heeled sneakers that are made from Napa leather, mesh, and suede. Get this. They range in price from $395 to $595. The site also sells two colors of Sneaks branded silk ankle socks to be worn with athletic stilettos. Pretty innovative thing to look for in the business wear from a true innovator who also has a shop at our wonderful airport. Something to keep an eye on. I always like highlighting entrepreneurs, especially on a large scale.